Hey guys, welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek, and I'm excited about today's topic. My sports background, coaching background, leads into really the value of practice. And you remember Allen Iverson said once, practice, we're talking about practice. Well, today I want to talk about practice, but how practices, specifically spiritual practices, give us a structure to connect with the Lord in times that are great, but also in times that are hard. And so I think oftentimes we overlook spiritual practices because we don't see the value, or we think maybe they're more religious, but I'm telling you, spiritual practices are what Jesus modeled and what he's called us to live into so we can stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus. So grab your Bible, grab your pen, and let's dig in. Stay in this posture of worship and adoration. We're praying this morning. Mackenzie and our team was just feeling like the Lord was just bringing clarity and moving away the fog so that we could see him rightly. I feel like this morning that's what he's doing. The scriptures tell us when we behold Jesus, he moves us from glory to what? Glory to glory. We behold him. And in the scriptures, when people saw Jesus rightly, they had to respond. And so I just want to give space. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. I feel like the Lord is just revealing himself, his beauty, his power, his majesty, his love, his passion, his justice. And so we just want to come alongside of him and just yield to him. And so two things I want us to pray into. As we see Jesus clearly, some of us recognize that he's been inviting you to do something or to lean into something, and you've been saying no to him for lots of reasons. And I just feel like this morning, as we see him rightly, seated on the throne, position of power and authority, that we would say, Jesus, I yield to you, and I'm gonna partner with you, whatever that is. So if that's you, just take a moment and just with the Lord, just say, I know I've said no, but today I'm just taking a step of faith and I'm going to say yes to you because I've seen you. And some of the people in the room here, maybe you've just never encountered the Lord. You've never yielded your life to him. You've never experienced the life that he said he came to give. So I just want to give you space for you. There's not a special word you have to say or some sentence you got to pray, but a heart that says, Jesus, I need you. I want to live with you. I want to experience your life. I want to submit my life to yours because you're worthy. I just feel like that's what the Lord just kept saying, what heaven's crying out today. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of your life. He's worthy of you stepping out in faith to partner with him. He's worthy. 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 He is worthy. The King is worthy. What heaven is saying right now, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. So Holy Spirit, would you just elevate our view of you? Would you elevate our view of Jesus? Would you elevate our view of the Father, that we could see you rightly, that we would see that you're worthy and that you're good, you're a benevolent King, that you are love and justice, and there's not anything contradicting yourself. As a community, we just yield to you. We yield to you, and we say we trust you as best we know how. And we ask for your leadership, Lord, that your kingdom would come in the Tri-Cities as in heaven, as in heaven. And can we all say amen to that? Amen, 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 yeah. Yeah, find a seat. If you feel like you still need to keep a conversation going with the Lord, man, by all means, don't stop that. Communion with God, that's the primary reason we're here, is communion with God today. To stir one another up for love and good works, good deeds. He's worthy. I just can't stop saying it. Anybody else, like, you just get on it, you're like, wow, he is worthy. Man, he is worthy. He's worthy of us singing today. He's worthy of our yes today, but he's worthy of our yes tomorrow at work. He's worthy of our attention, our lives. Man, he's so worthy. He's so worthy, man. I want to welcome, I know we got some guests here today, we welcome you. Man, I've been loving this series. I've been having a lot of good conversations with people around this series that's entitled Higher. as we are leaning into God, the scriptures and his presence, and we're saying, God, your ways are higher and your thoughts are higher. We want to lean in. We want to know your thoughts and we want to walk in your ways. So we've been unpacking little by little, and today I want to dig into something that I think is really practical, kind of putting my coach's hat on today. So I'm going to be preaching, but I'm kind of like, feel like coaching. All right, Mark, is that all right? You're a coach, right? So I want to coach, and I was thinking this week as I was preparing about, I think, one of the best news conferences or like interactions a sports or an athlete has ever had after a post game, whatnot. Does anybody else, if you're a kid of the 90s, you would remember this, but remember Alan, I almost said Alan Jackson. That's not sports, that's country music. Love me some Alan Jackson, whitewashed jeans and holes in them. But anyhow, Alan Iverson, anybody remember Alan Iverson, right? He had an amazing crossover. Do you remember the conference where he said, somebody was challenging his practice stride, and he said, practice? We're talking about practice? Anybody remember that? Anybody else beside me? Like he was saying, like, why are we talking about practice? I just play the game. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to talk about practice. And here's the interesting thing as we're watching, you know, football season, or watching, you look at, you know, the people that are at the top of their craft, maybe the PGA guys that are over in the Ryder Cup over in Europe this weekend. What's amazing is they have ascended and they've gotten better and better, and they're at the peak, the pinnacle. And guess what they still do every single day? Practice. Practice. Or think about like people in this room. Like we've got a lot of people that are saying, man, I want to walk in wholeness and I love it. I'm partnering with about 30 guys. We're starting tomorrow and we're taking some steps towards walking in wholeness. And some of us in the room, like you're trying to get your physical body in shape. You're trying to actually take care of the temple that God has given you. And so guess what you're going to do? You're going to put some practices in place. What are you going to do? You're going to put a practice in of working out. You're gonna do some cardio, you're gonna do some HIIT workouts, you're gonna lift some weights, you're gonna put a practice in of eating some good foods and not so many bad foods. You're gonna put a practice in and saying, hey, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna drink a gallon of water a day. That's a good practice to have. I'm gonna put a practice in of waking up at early in the morning, get my day started right. I'm gonna put a practice in, you fill in the blank. Practices, right? Or let's say you want to get a job and you're like, man, I want to get a job. There's some practice that needs to go in place. You got to put a practice in about updating your resume. You got to call on some people. You got to meet some mentors. You got to put your name out there. There are practices that are involved. Here's what I know about humanity is that we build practices to support the things that we value. Think about it. Like if you value something, I'm guessing right now today, you have built some practices in your life. Let me just give you a really simple scenario that we all can relate to. How many of you like your teeth? I mean, not like how they look, but how many of you want your teeth around for longer than, right? Like, and so guess what you have? You have a practice because you value your teeth. Guess what your practice is? You're gonna brush your teeth once, twice, hopefully, maybe mouthwash. You practice something, why? Because you value what it does. And here's the question, when you brush your teeth once, does it do anything? Not a whole lot, but if you brush your teeth day after day, year after year, decade after decade, how many know there's some value in that? Little by little. And so today I want to talk about practice, but not enough sports practice. I love doing that, but I won't do that today. Not physical fitness practice. I love that too. We're not going to talk about that today. But today I want to talk about spiritual practices. And I'm going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you have your Bible, go ahead and flip over there to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to look at verse 7 through 10. Picking up in verse 7, I love even this first couple lines. It says, have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths. Oh. Maybe you could put conspiracy theories in there. Ooh. That's just me guessing. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. Some of that will hit later maybe for you. Have nothing to do with irreverent or silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Beautiful, beautiful truth here. So he says, man, he says there is value in taking care of your body. Can somebody say amen to that? Let's not feel bad about that. Like I think as people following Jesus, we should take some real purpose in taking care of our bodies as best we can. And so he says, there is some value in eating right and exercising and taking care and training your body, having good practices. There's value, but he says there's actually something that has even more value. And that is when we train in what? Godliness. spiritual practice. And he says, not only does spiritual practice help us in the day-to-day today, but also has an eternal value. The rate of return on spiritual practices are eternal, right? And so he challenges us, says, man, don't just take care of your body, don't just take care of your mind, but also, man, there's a spiritual component to each person. And so, man, let's think about today, what are some spiritual practices, right? I love this quote from Dallas Willard. He's got so many quotes, but this one I think is so helpful. He says this, he says, grace is not opposed to effort, it is opposed to earning. Earning is an attitude, effort is an action. So let's just be really clear. Religion is rooted in earning. I've got to earn God's favor. I've got to earn God's love. You better do this to get God to do this. You've got to be up here. And if you're not up here, man, I don't know what God's going to think about you. And so religion that's defiled, that's not of the Lord, it is rooted in earning. And I just want you to hear that. Grace is not about you earning anything. It's a free gift. But here's what I want to like really challenge our thinking. Grace is not opposed to hard work. Here's what I know about anything in life. Anything worthwhile is gonna be hard to get to. I tell my kids that all the time. Listen, you're struggling in that class, guess what? It's good for you. Man, you're struggling to get the time you want on the team, you're struggling to get the opportunities you want on the team. Guess what, man, that challenge you're navigating, that difficulty you're navigating, there is something on the other side that is gonna be so good for you because hard things lead to good things. Any other parents say amen to that, right? And the scripture's so clear on this, that grace is opposed to earning. But let me tell you, Jesus was really intentional and he gave a lot of effort in walking with his Father and partnering with him on the earth. So in an effort to swing away from religion, I think the Western church has almost thrown out the baby with the bathwater in a lot of sense. Grace, it's all good. We're all under grace. And I love grace. We can never over-exaggerate grace. But I'm telling you, grace is not opposed to putting in some work, putting in some effort. So what is a spiritual practice? It's by grace these spiritual practices exist, but here's what spiritual practice is. It's an intentional action done to cultivate awareness and fellowship with God. So it's something that I plan to do and I'm intentional about it, and it's an actual thing that I do, but the purpose of that thing that I'm doing is to grow my awareness that God is present in the high moments like we just sang about, in the mountains, in the valley when things are hard, but also, we talked about this today, he's in the mundane, the day-to-day, every moment where we're washing dishes, you know, changing diapers, all that. God is present in all of that. And so a spiritual practice cultivates our awareness of God, but also our friendship with God, our oneness with God. We would say spiritual practices, they are intended to help us to abide, to be with God, to be tethered with God. And so I want to give you a quick list. This is not an all-inclusive list. And maybe when the list is done, if you want to grab your phone, you can take a picture. There's like 10 or 12 of them there, so you probably don't want to capture them all. But I just want to give you an overview of several spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines that we see in the scriptures and that people that follow God have been doing for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, okay? So here's a list of things. So the first one is rest. Somebody say yes to Sunday afternoon naps. Come on, I know I'm gonna take a good one this afternoon, but rest is really important. Like this is a spiritual practice actually of resting, and God instituted it from the very beginning on the Sabbath, right? It was a day of rest. And what was he reminding the Israelites? He was saying, you're not what you produce. Your identity, your worth is not in how many bricks you produce. You are much more than that. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a day and do nothing but take a deep breath, rest, be with me. And I want you to know that you're not conditionally loved by me. Rest and do nothing and know that you're loved. Isn't that beautiful? And so what does God do? He puts a rhythm. Spiritual practice, every 7 days, take a rest and say, wow, God loves me and I'm not even doing anything for him. Isn't that profound? See, these practices are beautiful, right? And so the next one is prayer. And we talk a lot about prayer here at this church. And hopefully we're growing and understanding what it is, that it's not just us telling God what we need. That's a great place to start, but it's also listening to God, asking God questions. It's a dialogue, not a monologue, where I'm saying, God, here's my needs, here's my frustrations, here's where I'm at, here's my perspective, but God, what do you say about this? Where are you at in this, God? What am I not seeing that's here? These are great spiritual practices, prayer. The next one is fasting, where I withhold from something, not to try to twist God's arm. We have some weird thoughts about that in the church world. I'm not fasting to get God to do something. I'm fasting in order that I could see God more clearly. And so I withhold to behold. That's the name of our fast that we do every January as a church, our community fast. It's for 21 days. We say, man, we are just gonna take 21 days, focus in, and we're gonna say, we're gonna deny ourselves some type of food, social media, whatever, and we're gonna say, God, I wanna see you more clearly. Because as we see him, we're moved from glory to what again? Glory, right? And so fasting is more about our awareness of God than try to get him to do something for us. It's a beautiful practice. The next one is one that doesn't happen a whole lot, and that is silence. We're doing it right now. And silence can be awkward if we're honest, right? But in our world, silence isn't valued very much. And we've got things going all the time. We've got TVs in the background. We've got worship music blaring. We've got, you know, podcasts going. We've got all kinds of stuff. And there's something to be said for having carved out time where you're just still with the Lord, where you're silent with him. And so maybe this week you just carve out 15, 20 minutes and you get by yourself and you take a deep breath and don't have anything going on. You'd be amazed at what God reveals as we sit with him in silence. Another one that goes with silence is solitude. And this is the one of the ones that I love. When I was in Houston, I started this practice of getting away from community and just taking some time and taking a deep breath with the Lord. And sometimes I would couple solitude with silence. And I don't know about you, but man, there's always somebody needing something, something needing to happen. And so having a spiritual practice where I say on my calendar, here's gonna be an hour, here's gonna be 4 hours, here's gonna be a whole day or whatever it is, where I say, I'm just gonna get alone with the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, that thing pays back so much in my spirit man, in my strength, in my awareness, in the revelation of the Lord. Solitude is such a beautiful gift. And as we're gonna see, was a regular practice of Jesus. The next one is gratitude. Man, we do this a lot at the church, and I love that science is coming alongside of this practice, that gratitude really does shift a lot of things in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirit, man. And so having a regular rhythm where we're giving thanks when things are great, but also when things aren't. It's beautiful practice and really shifts our perspective. So gratitude's a great one. Celebration, we're leaning into this as a church, where we're celebrating. Like the scriptures say that God's house is a house of what? Prayer. All right, are y'all with me? Are we celebrating today? God's house is a house of what? Prayer. And Isaiah says that house is filled with joy. Like, how many know it is good to be joyful in the house of the Lord, right? And so we want to be a people that celebrate. That's why even the scriptures, we see God, he institutes feasts. What was the point of those feasts? Well, there's a lot of things, a lot of layers. He was teaching them things, but one of the reasons why they had these feasts was to celebrate who God is, what he's done, what he's going to do. And so celebration is a huge part of our spiritual practices, giving and serving. And it's so helpful in a world that is so me, 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 to serve somebody who can't do anything for you. It's so helpful in a world that says, you get rich, you get rich, you get rich, and instead saying, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna actually intentionally decide, not out of obligation or shame, but I'm gonna actually sow into what my local church is doing or what this organization is doing. It's an amazing spiritual practice that really breaks off a lot of idolatry and a lot of strongholds in the Lord when we serve and when we give. It's a beautiful practice. The next one's fellowship, why we gather here together. To encourage one another, to cheer on one another, to hold each other accountable. It's a beautiful practice. This next one nobody really loves at the beginning, that's submission. That S word there, submission, where we learn how to yield to God. Where we say, God, I trust you, even though I don't understand, I don't see it, but I trust you. And this last one is reflection. This is one that I actually want to grow in over the next few weeks. I'm going to really lean into this. I've had seasons of this where I've done this, where at the end of the day, you take just a few minutes and you say, man, God, where did I feel most alive today? Where did I see you at work? Where did I say yes to you? Where did I miss you, God? Isn't that interesting? If God is everywhere, sometimes we miss them, right? And so it's a great practice to have. Now, all these practices on paper, like they're cool, they're awesome, like whatever, like they're cool. But here's the thing I love about these practices is they're all rooted in Jesus. See, Jesus, we love to sing the Savior, the King, and we should. He is the Messiah. He is the beautiful one, the powerful one. He is incredible. But what he also is, and what I love that we lean into a church, our church, is that he's also our model for how to live on the earth as a human being. Fully God, never changed, but he was also fully human. He chose to not play his God card, so to speak, and he walked the earth as a human being. And so when we see Jesus, what do we see? We see a human being living as humans were meant to be. Without sin. That's what we were created to be in the garden, right? And what is Jesus? He is a walking being who's fully God, but in this time he's fully human. And what is he? Connected to the Father by the Spirit of God. And so when he walks the earth, he's showing us he's the second Adam. He's the model. He's the one that shows us the way to how to be a human. And if we look at the life of Jesus, we see time and time again spiritual practices. He wouldn't have been saying, practice. He would have been saying, yes, practice, right? So here's a couple things that Jesus shows us. Mark 1:35, it says, Jesus, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to the desolate place, and there he prayed. Consistently throughout the scripture, you see Jesus separating himself and praying. Matthew 14:22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. What is that? Solitude. Prayer. Matthew 4:1-2. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting, there it is, 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Don't you love the humanity of Jesus? After 40 days, he's like, man, I could use a lunch, right? I could use some food. I was hungry, right? But it shows us that the spiritual practice or the spiritual discipline of fasting, Jesus embraced. It's so interesting, right? John 6:38, I love these two actually come together. John 6:38, John 12:49. He said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus said this. I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. What's that sound like? Sounds like submission, right? Jesus, the King, the one we're singing about, glory, glory. He submitted to the Father. We see this again in John 12:49. He says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. Jesus fully yielded to the Father. He shows us what submission looks like for a human being. And the last one I would point you to is Mark 10:43-45. It says, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man, listen to this, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I think some of us struggle with that passage. Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve you. Let me just challenge you a little bit. Jesus came to serve you. Isn't that crazy? Every conversation, he was serving the person he was having a conversation with. Every time he would teach, he was serving those that were listening. He came not to be served, but served. And so what we see is that Jesus modeled regular rhythms of spiritual practice. And as I look at Jesus, and as I say, man, as a disciple, like as a man, like I'm learning how to follow the ways of Jesus. I'm learning how to yield myself to the scriptures and all this teaches. And as a community, like I'm trying to help lead, be part of what God's doing in our community. And what I want all of us to do, which is the point of the church, is that we would mature more and more into the image of Christ. Does anybody else want that for our community? That's what I want so bad, is to see us grow into maturity that way. And what I see in Jesus, and as his rabbis, as his followers, or as he's our rabbi, as we're his followers, the disciples, this is what I know, is if Jesus embraced spiritual practice throughout his life, shouldn't we follow his model? The Son of Man, Jesus. If he regularly had these rhythms, these practices, where he connected to the Father, wouldn't you think his followers would do the same thing? One of the reasons why I think it's so important for us to talk about spiritual practices today is that they act as anchors to our faith during difficult and dry seasons. How many of you have ever had a difficult or dry season? Can you raise your hand up real quick? Keep it up real quick. Just look around real quick. Okay. Here's the next question. How many of you, after finding salvation in Christ and Christ alone, have had a difficult or dry season? Just raise your hand up. Right? Yeah. Now look around. Look around. Keep your hand up. Look around. Look at me. If you're in a difficult or dry season, you're not alone today. Here's what happens in difficult and dry seasons, though, is we can wonder. You know that beautiful song, Prone to Wonder, right? That beautiful song, right? Like, in difficult and dry seasons, it's so easy for us to step away from the things of God and the ways of God and the truth of God, and things come in. The enemy is there to whisper in our ears or to yell in our ears and try to define what's going on. And so in these seasons, I'm telling you, when things are difficult, when things are hard, we need some spiritual practices to give us discipline, to give us structure. And Jesus, as he had these practices, it got to the very end. And I'm telling you, he went through a very difficult moment the night before his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is Matthew chapter 26. It says, Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. There it is. Hard, challenging season right there. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." What is that? Submission. How many of you know this was not the first time that Jesus submitted to the Father? He had practices over practices over practices that led to this moment. And then he went back to the disciples and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak," which is the purpose of spiritual practices. Listen, your flesh is weak. My flesh is weak. We are willing, but we need something to give us support, something to give us some structure. He says again, "For the second time, he went away and he prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Submission. "And again, he came and found them sleeping with their eyes, because their eyes were so heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again." Jesus gives us a model, man. When things are hard, man, lean into your spiritual practices. I'm gonna say just a few more things about these practices that I think will help us. Spiritual practices are a means and not an end. Like, the goal is not to do spiritual practices. Spiritual practices are meant to lead us somewhere, right? And when we do these spiritual practices, we have to see that they're expressions of desire, not attempts to earn love. See, this is where these, when I talk about these, we can easily lean into legalism, we can easily lean into religion, but here's how we keep it fresh, is we recognize that my spiritual practices, these things that I'm intentionally doing, it's not to try to earn favor with God or earn love for God. I'm doing this because I have a desire to be one with God and to know God and be aware of him. It's not a minor difference. It's a huge, huge difference. So the heart posture in these spiritual practices has to be, man, I want to know you, God, and so I'm going to set these things up in my life to be with you, to know you. And in my own life, man, there's been seasons that have been really dry, seasons where I'm like, I don't feel it today. Even as a pastor, there's seasons that feel like, God, where are you? Man, we're trying to do all this stuff, and I feel like nothing's happened, or man, this thing's... And I can tell you, it's the spiritual practices that keep us anchored. All the men and women in my life that I look up to, the spiritual fathers and mothers and people that I look up to in the faith, I'm telling you, you're not gonna find one of them that don't have consistent spiritual practices in their life. And the reason why is because those spiritual practices, they're there to give structure. And so yesterday I was driving to Knoxville, not for the game. For a better game, my daughter's volleyball games. And on the way, I was worshiping in the car and listening to some podcasts. And somebody had talked about a trellis. Now, you know what a trellis is. A trellis is, you got a plant, it's got the vine, and then it's got all the branches, and a trellis is there. And you take the branches and you start attaching it to the trellises, and the trellis is there. Sometimes it's made out of wire, sometimes wood, but it's there. And what's interesting is that the vine grows up, and that trellis is there to support the branches. It keeps the branches from being weighted down from actually getting down in the dirt, because when they get in the dirt, when they get weighted down, they don't produce good fruit. And so that trellis is there to keep the branches up, and yet the trellis is, it does not give life to the branches, does it? No, the vine does that, but the trellis supports the branch so that it can remain in the vine. Am I making sense here? Y'all tracking with me, right? Now, what's interesting in John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. This is what Jesus says, I am the vine. And what are we? We are the branches. And he said, if you abide in me, you will what? You will bear much fruit. So think about the picture of that, that trellis, that vine, that we have a vine. His name is Jesus. He is the life source, and he is the vine. And you and I as branches are connected to him. And here's what we know about life. Loss comes. Challenges come. Disappointment, doubt, frustration. These things come, and guess what happens? The branches, they get weighed down. And apart from any structure, if we're just there, just kind of floating in the wind, we're gonna get so weighed down that we're gonna end up down where we really aren't gonna yield any good fruit. We might yield fruit, but it's probably not good fruit. And yet, as a branch, I believe these spiritual practices, they give us like a trellis where we're connected to. Now, once again, do spiritual practices give us life? No, they don't. They're not meant to. There's one source of life, his name is Jesus. But what the spiritual practices do in our life is they give us a support system, a structure, if you would, to keep us in position so that we can stay connected to the vine. So why do we pray? Because we have to? No. So we can abide. Why do we fast? To get God to do something? No. Because we want to be more aware of God. We want to stay in the vine. Why do I read the scriptures every day? Because I have to, because I got to check off the list, because I got to keep my, you know, my streak going on the Bible app. No, that's not why we do it. Not a good reason. It's because I want to abide. I want to learn. I want to be with him. I want to know him. My desire is to be with him. Remember, we put practices to that which we did, that we value. So I want to close today with this question. What spiritual practice do you feel like the Lord is inviting you into today? We got a lot of people here in different phases of their journey with the Lord, and some of you are, man, you're gurus, ninjas when it comes to spiritual practice. But some of us, man, we've maybe never had a spiritual practice that we've had. And I'm gonna tell you, that spiritual practice, it's so key. It doesn't give us life, but it supports life. And so I'm gonna have them put this list up here. And we're just gonna ask the Lord, Lord, would you highlight to our community here one or maybe two practices that you're inviting us to begin? Not because we have to, not because it's a religious duty, but because we desire you. Because we long to know you, because we want to be more aware of you, Lord. What structure, what trellis, spiritual trellis would you want us to engage in starting this week? So just take a moment, and as something comes to mind, maybe it's one I read off earlier, then you would just write that down. Continue that conversation with the Lord today and say, what would it look like for me to, man, start reading just a couple verses a day in my Bible? What would it look like if I just start praying and don't just tell God, but I just say, God, what do you want me to know? Maybe this week you carve out your lunchtime and you say, I'm not gonna eat at this lunchtime. I'm gonna go off and take a walk and have some solitude and silence with the Lord. What I found is that the power we long to see in our lives, the authority that God has given us, the revelation that God gives us, man, so much of that comes through the avenue of these practices where we connect to the vine, Jesus himself. So Lord, I thank you for allowing us to gather, for allowing us to celebrate you, that we got to come around the table as a community to celebrate that it's your sacrifice that makes us whole. We thank you for the life of Jesus, for the death of Jesus, the resurrection, the fact that he's praying for us today at a place of authority. We're so grateful for the promise that he's gonna return and restore all things. We thank you for the motto in Christ Jesus of what it looks like to have these spiritual practices that keep us connected to the Father, keep us aware of him. And I just pray as a community that we would grow in maturity today. that we wouldn't just be hearers, but we would be doers, that we'd be disciples that say, we want to know not just about, but we want to actually live the life that Jesus lived. Follow his leadership. Lord, I pray for those that are going to step out in faith this week and begin one of these practices. I pray you would meet them there like I know you will, that they would have an awareness of you and that you would just bring some vibrancy, some life to their walk with you. Lord, in this house, we honor you. We say you are the reason why we gather, and we're so grateful that today we got to be with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Beautiful. Hey, I'm going to invite our prayer team forward, and I just really do want to invite you. If there was something the Lord laid on your heart that stirred up with you, if you want prayer for it, these guys would love to come alongside you. And then specifically, some of our prayer team just felt like the Lord was going to deliver people this morning of just like kind of a foggy mind, just giving clarity to your mind. So maybe you're in a situation in your life where you feel confused, or you just don't have that clarity of mind that you've had before. If that's you, please come forward. We'd love to pray for you. But for the rest of you guys, enjoy your Sunday, and we'll see you later.